Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at the same number as Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host Sandy Williams, who's here. Let's go to the phone lines, Sandy, before we move on. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Okay, hold on.
Just quickly before Gary, just a bit of a follow-up to what CJ was saying. At the end of what he was saying, he was talking about how a party, I guess he was pointing at the Democratic Party, had forged the curriculum in schools, and that schools were worsening as the result of that, and that was a political problem. And to me, that's the straw man. That's the red herring that's being put out there that is part of the fear process. That is part of the fear process associated with, for instance, school boards across the country, and particularly in Wisconsin, are not partisan. So they aren't controlled by parties. Curriculums in schools are not controlled by state legislatures. And so to the extent that they are, that's not an impetus that's currently ongoing from the left, as far as I know. I think there is some impetus from the right to try and get involved at the state level in school curriculum. But school curriculum are controlled by the educational process that is also at the local level delivered by school boards. And so, to me, this is shaping and pointing at the and working with the fear we all have about our children and they're trying to develop a fear that is associated with schools. I've got a son who teaches middle school who's under a great deal of pressure, and people want to talk about what's being taught at school, I guess because they're worried about their children's minds being shaped in some fashion that's different than the way they would like to shape their children's minds. But critical thinking and the whole world's progress has been premised on helping people think independently, to read books and to not just take snippets that are presented to them by people to read to shape their mind. I think school and education does its very best to try and help children think critically and to let them read, for instance, all sides of something so that they can decide what they think. If they're only allowed to read one side of something, I think that's what people would accuse China of trying to do in their country, and it's what was the Catholic Church was accused of and actually accomplishing during the Middle Ages. We need to have our children given the opportunity to think and to express themselves and to understand issues in a broad sort of a way. And so, to me, what CJ was saying was heartfelt. I'm not criticizing him personally for feeling that way. What I'm criticizing is the concept of presenting a straw man argument like that and trying to develop in the people who are listening an understanding that trying to mold children's thinking in a particular direction is a very dangerous thing, and that our school curriculum, I think, have historically done quite a good job. It can't be perfect, but have done quite a good job of opening up children's minds and not shutting them down.
All right, let's go to Gary from Sussex. Hey, good morning, Gary. You say what?
Well, comments. I was listening to CJ. Now, just for the record, I think CJ is great, okay? I disagree with sometimes his antics,
Gary, why do you always have to come on defending CJ? What about the topics? That we are talking
I'm gonna
about?
Hit the to- I'm going to hit the topic.
I know, but you always have to preface it with CJ.
Because the fact is that he's one or two people that sit there and listen to your show and goes out there and tells them what he tells you guys what he thinks. And I give him a lot of credit. I disagree with the way he argues and fights with everybody, because you're not going to have a dialogue if you sit there and you fight all the time, you know. And then you and CJ go at it all the time. But
listen,
you know,
I don't know what
you handle. You handle them well. You really do. He's gotten way better. Okay, so you're a professional. You get paid for what you do, you know. Now, he made a comment that he's not welcome on other shows. Well, there's one guy that I know for sure that he's not welcome for, because I do listen, and this guy on Saturday.
My point is, why are we even having this conversation? Our conversation is about education right now.
Okay.
And why there are so many people who are leaning towards, the school system being controlled by an entity is not the educators themselves.
Well, the point that I'm calling up is because I'm planning on hopefully running for the school board out in Sussex, okay? My kids, my wife, my sister-in-law, my nieces and nephews, they're all teachers. We have 90% of the jobs in my family are teachers, but most of them now teach at a private school. They were all public schools, including my daughter, but now she finally...
So why did they leave the public schools? Why did they leave the public schools?
She just could not take the stuff that's going on. You're going to hate this when I say the critical race theory thing. You're not going to like
that. It's not happening.
That's not true because my daughter's a teacher. Okay, and she left.
Sandy,
she left at that point.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. You're going to talk.
No. You go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So yeah, everybody's leaving. So. Literally, all of my nieces and nephews and everybody, including my daughter, they all left the public and they're teaching at private
Just one thing, though, and my understanding of and this is based on some personal experience, that much of the departure of the teachers from their jobs has come out of the difficulty of the jobs themselves, that the number of children in their classroom has become very hard to manage, that there's a shortage of teachers in the public school system that is putting the burden on these teachers that is very hard for them to bear and is basically taking a great toll on them.
And, I agree 100%
okay,
with
and,
you.
And I think that has much more to do with it than this notion that there is a curriculum being imposed on them that could be possibly entitled critical race theory. First of all, critical race theory is a defined term that relates to a law school course that was given that related to the kind of legislation and other ways to analyze things that were ongoing that might have a racial bias, and has nothing to do with curriculums in grade schools or high schools. And I am familiar with the curriculum in a couple of middle schools, and I would defy anyone to understand what it is that could possibly be viewed as a nefarious curriculum. They are teaching the concept of slavery when they teach about plantations and the economic period in the United States when a great deal of the economy of the South in particular was premised on slavery. And so that is a concept taught. Would you suggest that our kids should not learn about that period in our society?
No, my daughter teaches.
Sure. And does she?
Well, she
that isn't.
Everything.
Yeah, but that isn't why she left.
Sandy,
yes.
No, Sandy. One of the things is that they're changing history. They're changing the way history is being taught.
Wait.
It's all new modern history now.
Let's
rid of the old history.
Well, the old history, in some respects, the history that I took. I'm older than you are. I'm confident, but the history that I took.
70.
Oh, well, then I'm not a lot older. The history that I took was, in fact, quite strained in terms of the reality that we were being exposed to. So that, we learned very little about a whole lot of things just because of the way that the process had evolved and the way our society was presenting things to us through the social filter that we lived in. So, there has been an ongoing evolution of history, and in fact, history has always evolved, and sometimes it evolves in a revisionist way, where we turn the clock back and we change the way history is, and sometimes it's changed in a way that tries to focus on history and with greater realism. We were taught, in many respects, a good deal of revisionist history.
But I have to tell you both. That the frustration that people of color get in this conversation is that our children and the history of what happened to our forefathers in this country that put us in the condition we are in, it rarely, if ever, is taught. And so every time we hear about, you know, children being taught about slavery, black children don't get taught the real truth about any of those things. And when we hear people say that they don't want this the truth of the history of this nation taught, which has not been taught, to be frank with you, and so they want to have that, you know, sugarcoated, our frustration is, hey, we're Americans too, okay? And so because we're a minority American, it's as if our voices don't matter in this conversation. And it was our forefathers who were mistreated in this manner. So my frustration, again, always comes from that. Well, they don't want their children to know about the true history of what took place. Well, again...
Well, let me just, as fellow 70-year-old... Let's talk about Jim Crow and the Jim Crow period of our history. I was not taught about that in my high school and grade school education.
Neither was
education.
I. We had to find that out ourselves.
And were you taught about that? Were you taught about the Jim Crow?
No.
No, okay.
No.
So Jim Crow definitely existed, right? I mean, you won't deny that there was this whole set of Jim Crow laws in the South that led up to this.
No, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible. But we weren't taught about it. So that's what so when we now have evolved our history to now it is taught about. So is that revisionism, or is that the evolution of the teaching of history into a greater reality? And I think it is. So, I mean, there's always going to be a contest over exactly what's taught and exactly how it ought to be taught. But
what about all these monuments are being torn down? Okay.
Well, wait, monuments,
you know,
wait just a minute. We're talking about education in our school system. Schools are not tearing down the monuments, okay? Maybe some universities are, but our grade schools and high schools are not, and it's not anything to do with,
dropping Lincoln and Washington,
Gary,
all these names.
So well, they're not dropping
Gary,
Lincoln and Washington.
Let me explain to you, Gary. We got to go to a break.
Sir.
Hang on, because I got something I want to say. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Show as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams and Gary. I'm letting you hang on the line for a couple of different reasons. And I just want to get this in before I let Sandy go back and dialogue with you. Again, I'm a 68-year-old man. And who's lived in this country and continues to see a country that has not decided to be fair and just and equitable, even in 2022. And so when you see things that we know have happened in this country, and our forefathers, my forefathers, not yours, but my forefathers, who were mistreated in this manner and never giving fair and equitable opportunities in this country. And yet we see people saying and pushing back on things and want to go wax nostalgic about a time that should have been shameful in this country. And then I hear others wanting to get back to that time, and we don't want to forget that history, they say. Okay, again, it should have been shameful because of what happened. And because, and you can't ever bury that. Doesn't matter how you want to sanitize it, you can never bury that, because that's the history that the world knows. Sandy, go ahead.
Well, no, that's you're right. You know, there is that problem that people ought to understand. You know, there's other kinds of things, Gary, that we weren't taught. We weren't taught about redlining in the North. You know, so even though we might have all understood when we were going to school that the South was a bigoted place that involved a lot of bigotry towards blacks, we ignored the fact that there were so many ongoing things in the North that were having similar impacts that were not enacted into law, but were rather sort of ongoing. And now we are teaching about it, because we now know about it and we look at it straightforwardly. And we should teach things that actually happened. That's what history is all about. So, you know, you mentioned before the break, you were talking about taking down statues and changing names. You understand that none of that is being legislated. None of that is being enacted by partisan politics. That's happening in out there in the social ambience. It's happening because institutions, colleges, maybe have made decisions about what it is that they want to have on their campus that seems to be revered, and whether they want to change that or move away from it. And so, you know, I understand that all of this relates to a view that somehow there's a thought control process ongoing. But I'm not sure, if we really stand back from it, is it really thought control, or is it just the evolution of thought where people have become, you know, would you say that there was something that was very upsetting to you about the Washington Redskins changing their name? Because they basically did that for marketing reasons. They understood that from the standpoint of the image they were portraying to the country, they maybe needed to change that image. Don't you agree? I mean, they're a business. And they weren't forced to change their name by anybody.
What about the Seminoles? Okay, down in Florida.
Well,
they're not going to change their name. They give out millions and millions of dollars to the Seminole tribe there.
Yeah, well, that's
Different than Redskin.
Seminole is the name of a tribe. Redskin was a vernacular used for Indians that was essentially a bigoted racist name. Okay, so I'm just saying, Gary, I'm just trying to help you. If we think this through, we could maybe try and figure out the part of what we're thinking that is driven by an emotional frustration we have, and the part of it that might be driven by fact.
Well, again, this goes back to, again, Gary not wanting to see the evolution change.
Well, no.
I'm saying, not him personally, but
I am about the most open conservative that listens to you guys.
Yeah, no, I'm.
I really am.
I'm not going to attribute thoughts to you, Gary. That's not. But I do think that we need to be careful about what we think, because I know that when we get in conversations with our friends, we can express our frustration about what's going on. You know, I look at this whole pronoun thing as being a surprise to me, because, you know, if when you're in Holland and you're in a place where none of these gender differences make any difference, nobody worries about any of this. So, you know, what's happening in America is we're evolving, hopefully, into a society where everybody's allowed to live their own life as long, you know, in a from a personal standpoint, in the ways they live them, without having some kind of value system imposed on them that is, you know, not something that's essentially part of the American way. And we wouldn't even talk about it, because it wouldn't be a problem.
Sandy, let me ask you about the American way.
Yeah.
Okay, because the American way does not include everybody.
Well, that's the problem with it currently, is that, you know, we give lip service to the American principles of free thought, free expression, of equality for all. You know, if we really embodied that in our actions, then we wouldn't be worried about all of these the things that are currently maybe distracting us from erecting the America we need, which involves some other stuff.
Listen, we got to go to the break. 844-967-2789. Tom, I see you. We'll come to you. Our phone lines are open. It's Monday. Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be back. To the Earl Ingram Show, as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us the same number. Let's go to, it's Monday. It means Mondays with Sandy Williams. Let's go to Michael in West Dallas. Hey, Mike, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, good morning, sir. This is the first time I've ever heard about your show or your network, but I would like to just make a brief comment.
Let me ask you, how did you find out about the show and the network?
Actually, the local station used to be a sports station.
Right,
and I went
correct.
To tune into that, and I caught you. I was interested, and I just kept on listening. So thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for staying on. Go ahead.
Well, if you don't mind, I'm an old man. I'm 70 years old, so my observation might be a little bit dated.
Wait. My guess is your age. And I'm 2 years on the other side of it. So we're all in the same area.
Oh, we're all in the same boat then. That's wonderful. But, you know, the one criticism I might make a little bit.
But we don't consider ourselves old.
We're like wine. The older we get, the better we get.
All right, sir, yes. Go ahead.
And, you know, besides that, I'm totally blind, but I'm in a wheelchair, so I'll tell you, I've got a lot of mountains that I have to climb every day.
We'll
get them climbed. But, you know, the one observation I wanted to make about the woke generation, for lack of a better word, I think the one mistake that they make is they seem to think that any generation prior to them was all bigots, was ignorant, and they have, like, monopoly on the truth. And the point I wanted to make is, don't you think that we progress socially? I mean, technically, Abraham Lincoln was a racist. Did you know that?
Well, I mean, you know, we're all sort of a victim of the society into which we're born and the viewpoints that it has. And you can look back on your life and realize how much your thoughts have evolved probably from the time that you were inheriting the thinking of your parents until you developed your own thinking, right? So, I mean...
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
The one thing I am learning in my old age, well, I have a fiance in another state who is black, and she has taught me so much about reading different books. Up until just recently, I used to never want to believe that the police could actually be as brutal as they've shown themselves to be in many instances. And so many areas where I've been basically not just visually blind, but socially blind, because I did not want to learn. And what I'm learning is not altogether that comforting. I can't just say anymore my country right or wrong, because there's so many aspects where my country is not really lived up to its ideals.
Well, you know, I'm glad you said that, because our view here is that we're patriots, and the most patriotic thing we can all do is to try and help our country elevate itself to live up to its ideals, and not to blindly, as you use the term, not to blindly just say that our country, right or wrong, because our country can get righter and righter. So that's, you know, if you keep listening to the show, I hope you understand that's the motivation of this show is to try and have a dialogue that helps us all work in the direction of making our country better and not just talking about issues the way we've decided to describe them. So using this term woke, you know, you could sit down in a room and we'd have all trouble figuring out what woke means exactly. But we all do know that there is a discourse ongoing in this country that has annoying aspects to it. And however, it probably is intended to drive our country in a direction that might be an improvement in its dealing with various people who have not been properly dealt with in the past.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So but what we need to do, you're right. I mean, what we need to do is figure out a way to do that without pushing it in people's faces or causing them to not warm to the idea. We can't require people to simply adopt new ideas until we warm them to it.
No, of course.
Yeah.
But just one last observation. You've been so patient with me. I appreciate it. But don't you think that in some ways we are pushing our kids too fast when it comes down to sex education? I remember back when I was a young boy, 9, 10 years old, I didn't hardly even know where babies came from. Now we're trying to make kids at 8 years old question their own sexuality. Like, you might really be a woman inside that male body. Must we do this?
I'm not sure we are doing that. I think that, and that's part of the problem, I think, with this over discussion of the whole of that whole element, because now we've decided that somehow processes are in place that aren't really in place. But don't you think it is important to help people understand those kind of issues as they evolve themselves? Because, you know, there is a percentage of us who are evolving genetically from the standpoint of having a different view of themselves than we do. So, you know, we have to figure this out. We have to figure out how to create a world that is accepting of everyone, and that the world that everyone feels accepted into. And I think that's what's involved here, which is an entirely, I think, a very positive motivation. Yeah, maybe we have to figure out the ways in which we do that, but don't you agree with that aim?
Yes, I do. If I can ask you also to agree with the aim that just because I might be politically conservative and that I voted for Trump last time, you don't automatically dismiss me or hate me, you know, because I'm different. I think a little bit differently than other people. We need to have a mutual, respectful dialogue on both sides.
Let me say this to you: that is why you are on the air, and unlike what happens on conservative hosts and shows where they're not going to have a dialogue like this.
And in fact, I think my hope is that we can coax people out of their political polarity by creating an environment in which people can talk to one another. And we'll realize that, like Earl started the show by talking about how people believe that the other side, 80% of Americans believe that other political side is going to destroy America.
And, yes, I know that.
And I think that, you know, your realization, you've come to, you know, as we evolve in life, as we meet people and learn things, you've mentioned that you've developed a strong relationship with an African-American person. You learn a lot that causes us to maybe change the way we react to the world and the way we think. So, you know, hopefully that's what this show is about. And hopefully if more of us do this, we'll lose our polarity. We'll lose this fear that the other side's going to destroy America. And we'll begin to understand maybe how we can all make the place better.
I'm going to listen to you guys more often. I promise you that. And, you know, I feel like so old and late smart, you know. Not that I have all the answers all of a sudden, but at least I'm finally beginning to question. And I never questioned all my life. Things were always right or wrong, good or bad. There's no middle ground. And at my old age, I'm finally, whether God or whoever's opened my eyes, you know, figuratively speaking at least, I hope that I can continue to learn.
I have to interrupt you, because the only thing that I would disagree with you on is stop saying you're old. Because that means we're old.
Oh, no, and, well, you're not.
Well, we don't look at ourselves as old, and neither are you.
So, you're right. You're right.
But thank you very much for the call, man. I really appreciate it.
Well, God bless both of you, and have a wonderful day, okay?
You too. Thank you.
You take care. Bye-bye now.
All right. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, how you doing, man?
Hey, Earl.
Thanks for waiting.
First off, you bet. First off, we the people, all of us, are the government, and we must never forget that. That gentleman that just called up with such a breath of fresh air.
So, Tom, one second.
Yep.
See, Sandy, now, if we're talking about conservatives, we can have dialogue and conversations with a guy who's open-minded as a conservative. He's open-minded. He clearly stated he's a conservative.
Well, I think what we all have to understand is that our views of things should be open to evolving, and I think too many of us are not open. Like he said, you know, for all of his life he thought there were this right and wrong and a black and white, and so when we start opening our mind to thinking, then our thoughts can evolve, and so then it can evolve on things like this whole pronoun issue. You know, this is something.
But the thing about it is that guy came to the conversation in an honest way.
Yeah,
that's true.
I'm sorry. The Republicans are all the MAGA Republicans. I am going to distinguish the difference.
Well, and he said he was a MAGA Republican. He voted for Trump.
Right. I mean, he said he voted for Trump. But you know what? I think a lot of those people were bamboozled. I feel like he was more of a Evers-type Democrat. Because Tony Evers is someone that's a little bit like that guy. He's somebody that actually wants to have a conversation and have good government work. He's actually someone that really doesn't have a disdain for people. I really believe that Ron Johnson and I call him Mega Michaels, but Mr. Michaels, I really believe that they have a disdain for the people of Wisconsin.
You mean Republicans and Democrats?
I don't think the Republican people, but I think the Republicans know all they're about is power. All they want is power.
Yeah,
they don't care.
Tom,
I'm talking about the people that are in government.
Yeah, Tom.
I'm not talking about the people.
Yeah, Tom.
That guy reminded me of a Republican before Scott Walker divided and conquered the state. That's what that guy reminded me of.
Someone
that you could actually talk.
Yeah, I would agree with you that the problem with the Republican institution, the party, is that it is all about power. It's this end justifies the means. They've developed the straw man theory that people have bought into, that the other side, that the Democrats will destroy the country if elected, and so therefore everything that they can do to make sure that doesn't happen is justified. Tom, just a minute. But the point I would like to make, and I try to be as nonpartisan as possible, is I do think I'm really driven by this notion of having people open, having thoughts be open, that thoughts not be channeled, that we have a process in which there is free expression of ideas and a free exchange of ideas, and that we open ourselves to evolving our thoughts in a direction that is aimed towards something that is fundamentally right or truthful or factually based. And I would urge people who are going to vote, first of all, I would urge people to get out and vote, number one. And number two, I would urge them not to vote for Republicans in this go-around because, quite frankly, my view of the institution of Republican politics and the institution that is best reflected, I think, by Ron, the candidates in Wisconsin right now who seem to be standing for these principles that I think are faulty in Republican politics, they need to vote Democratic. Because the purpose behind that is to make sure that we have an open expression of ideas. You know, in the long run, does that mean everyone will vote Democratic? No. Hopefully it means that the Republican Party would evolve into a much more principled organization that would present alternatives to us and alternative policies that were meant to improve the lot of the people.
Well, just as an example, okay? They're talking about the thing with transgender people or gay people or whatever. Why can't you just say, you know what, every person, no matter their orientation, no matter what it is that God made them, you know what, can't you just say, which I think about Wisconsin, which is everyone is accepted. Everyone's okay. You're okay being who you are. As a young gay kid in the state of Wisconsin, fearing my whole life that, you know, that someone find out that I was gay and hate me for that reason, I'll tell you what, there's something nice about the fact that people are actually saying on an everyday basis that people, all people are special. And I think that's part of what Jesus would want, is to actually look at all people and say, you know what, you're all equal, you're all special.
Tom, hold the thought. I won't give you a chance. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. You can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, it's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. Let's go back to Tom from L.A. Tom, quickly.
Hey, Earl. I'm going to talk a little slower just because I always feel like I'm rushing myself. All I'm saying is that, you know, we should all love everyone. And the thing is, when you talk about education, you have a candidate on the Republican side right now that wants to take 40% of the education and give it to private charter schools.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to a Catholic grade school, okay? But my parents sacrificed to pay because they wanted me to have a, you know, a private religious education. You know what? If they could have gone and sent me to a public school, but for the public school dollars to go to the private schools and religious schools, that really is no longer, I mean, it's cheaper to go to a religious school now, or that's the way they're going to make it, versus a public school. You're going to have two educational systems that are going to be one for the more well-to-do and one for the, you know, most poor among us. And the poor among us are not going to get public education.
So you're going down a path.
Michaels wants to defund education.
I know. So you're going down a path where we began the conversation talking about trying to have the dialogue between the people on the other side of, you know, the 80% who see this thing one way and the other, and you know, Democrats see it this way and that's the only way they'll see it. Republicans see it that way and that's the only way they'll see it. And you are explaining that you can't have that, you've tried to have the dialogue, but you can't have the conversation with these people. Is it safe to say that?
Well, I definitely can have a dialogue with people that I meet, not the mega Republicans I can't,
but those are the people that we're talking about.
Well, I run into people every day in my job where basically I tell them, you know, I'm an FDR Democrat. That's who I am. FDR wasn't about just giving away things, you know, willy-nilly. He thought the government was the employee of last resort. I also say to them, can we agree that we need to get money out of politics? And they usually agree with me on that. Finding common ground on that. But it's the Republicans in power and the conservative Supreme Court that brought us Citizens United, that brought us money in politics. That's why you can't turn your TV on without seeing a political ad. And you're not going to have the media say anything about it because they get money from advertising dollars. So, I mean, I find some areas where I can, you know, without them going and spouting off a talking point, you know, I find that conservatives when you actually can talk to them for more than 5 minutes and not a Facebook post and not a Twitter feed and not a, you know, whatever it might be, but actually have a conversation with them, they're good, well-meaning people. We both want the same thing. But let's start with getting money out of politics. Yeah. Let's start with the fact of putting yourself, you know, in the shoes of another person. I mean, come on. What about the fact, what if somebody today took CJ or any of these people out of their current living situation, shipped them over to another country where they made them into slaves? How would they feel about that? Yeah, That's important to know.
Yeah, I think
people in Africa were doing pretty well before they actually got sold into slavery. I think that's important to know.
Hey, Tom. You know? Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Well, I think, Tom, first of all, I think what's interesting is we're in the midst of a social evolution in the United States of this openness and this the concept that everyone is entitled to live their life as they live their life, and that we ought to be free and accepting about that. And you go to countries that have already gotten there, Holland, for instance, and there they don't talk about any of these things that we find it necessary to talk about. I think it's important that we're at a stage where we are now talking about, for instance, sexual orientation and the sexuality issues that are very fundamentally important to a number of people in this country. But at some point, they will not be centric anymore. At some point, we will be actually post-racial, like we hoped we were when Trump was elected. I mean, when Obama was elected, and we won't talk about whether someone is African American. It won't come up. We don't now talk about someone. Oh yeah, Sandy, he's an English-Irish guy. You know, we aren't worried about that, and we ought not to be worried about it with anybody, or even it ought not even come in the conversation. And so, you know, we're evolving. But we'll only evolve if people are open to it and don't resist it and don't believe that evolution is dangerous to them. And so that's why we need to have conversation. We need to defang this whole thing.
You know, Sandy, we can talk about the greatest nation on earth, and in some instances we are. But with our divisions inside of our country, we're not the greatest nation on earth. Because of the divisions that we have. And these, to me, they're counterfeit divisions. You're an American first and last. And any of the ethnicity things come secondary. And I would think that that was what the premise of founding this nation really was about.
Yeah.
We're all from, America's the one place where the entire human family is here, right? I mean, you know, you go to China, Chinaman, you go to France, Frenchman, you go.
Well, you know, I mean, some of the big countries, actually, quite frankly, there's a fair amount of diversity. It might all, that people from our standpoint might all seem Asian, but China has a good deal of diversity. Russia has quite a bit of diversity. So we're not alone, but we definitely are unique. And we're definitely unique from the Western European countries who primarily have a great deal of ethnic homogeneity.
And so, again, the premise of it is beautiful. And can work if the people themselves get out of the way.
You know, I was just thinking, we started out this show talking about the Packers. We can all talk about the Packers being the greatest team on earth, and they have been, but they aren't right now.
Right.
And so we ought to be that accurate and thoughtful about ourselves as a country. We're all loyal Packer fans. We're not going to lose that. We're patriotic Packer fans, but we're going to look at them realistically. We're also going to analyze whether Aaron Rodgers was a big mistake, whether, you know, we'll look at these things factually and try and come to grips with it as patriotic Packer fans. And we ought to be patriotic American fans too, but we ought to be realistic.
So let's do this. Those of you who were on the line waiting, I didn't want to put you on for a minute, so that's why I didn't come to you. Call back after the break, 844-967-2789. We love to talk to you. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be back.